radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Chapter 5, there is a word from the Lord. Mark chapter 5, and before I get into the message, I'm saying this at this moment in my sermonic presentation because I want this to air on the radio, so that all of Alexandria, Leesville, our entire listening audience can hear it. I was blessed on yesterday to have the opportunity and the privilege to go and see one of our, one son of this church, Brother Jonathan Moore. Amen. His mother and his mother's in the choir there, Wave Sister Moore, and his dad is a deacon and he's our treasurer. He's in the back. But their son is a gifted artist. And I was blessed on yesterday because some of his artwork, his graphite work, is on display at Gallery 111, which is located in downtown Leesville. And I'm telling you, it's an awesome, beautiful, wonderful display of art. And there were only three of us up in there. Well, four, including Jonathan. And that was me and his mama and his daddy and Jonathan. Amen. We've got to support and encourage people from this community. And that's what I mean when I say only three or four of us. I meant from this community. Amen. He has some graphite work there. And when I walked in, the curator for the I want to call it a museum, but he asked me if I knew who the representations were on the paintings. He thought I didn't know, but thanks be to God, I've been a few places, and so I was able to tell him, well, this one, the first one, which is the title of the piece, is called Shadows. It's a depiction of Sherlock Holmes, and the shadows in that piece are just phenomenal. You'll have to go and see it. And I said, the second one, that is Fred Astaire, who was a great dancer back in the day. And he was shocked that I knew that that was Fred Astaire. And then the next one was Judy Garland, who was the mother of Liza Minnelli. She was Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. Amen. And then the next one, I did not know a drummer. I didn't know him, but I knew everybody else. And then there's a beautiful piece of Sister Moore's mother. And I'm talking huge pieces. I'm not talking no little bitty pieces. I'm talking as big as this pulpit, this desk. So y'all go down to 3rd Street Gallery 111 and check out the artwork by our own, amen, Jonathan Moore. Let's celebrate him. He's not here, but let's just celebrate him. Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34. When you find it, say amen. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I want to talk for just a few moments this morning as we close out this year. I want to talk from the subject, I've had enough. I've had enough. Amen. I've had enough. Thank you, ushers. The transitory human redemptive process happens when you get to a point where change is no longer voluntary, but rather mandatory. Each one of us reaches a point in our journey in life and in our journey with God where something has to change. It normally happens when you get to the point where you just can't go any further, when you have taken all that you can take. Amen. You stand and you make a conscious, cognizant decision that you've had enough. Jill Scott reached that decision a few years ago as she told Ebony Magazine about the beau she was about to marry. She discovered that her beau was starting to make her boohoo when she found out that he was tipping around with other sisters. She said, you know what? I can do bad all by myself. Jill Scott lost some 68 pounds, came out looking like Beyonce with lagniappe because she had reached the point where she had had enough. We look at where people are now, but we don't know what they've been through to get where they are. Tyler Perry reached that point while he was living in the back seat of his car. While in the back seat of his car, he reached the point where he brushed away thoughts of suicide and decided that life was going to prosper him and that God was going to favor him, and the rest has been history. Florida Evans on the sitcom Good Times, and some of y'all are too young to remember Good Times. But for those of us who are old school like me and can remember Thelma and JJ and Michael and Florida and James Evans, you remember the episode where Florida is standing in the kitchen after James had died. She threw a punch bowl on the floor and screamed three words. She said, well, you saw it. The bottom line is, she had enough. And in one of my favorite movies, The Color Purple, Miss Seeley had had enough. I love the scene. Y'all remember, Mr. had been so mean. He'd been so trifling, so evil, so contentious, so pugnacious. I'm using these words to keep from using other words. Mr. had done horrible things to Miss Seeley, so much so that she began to adopt his mindset, began to think like him, that women should be beaten. She internalized that dysfunction so much so that she told her son, Harpo, to beat his wife. Y'all remember Sophia. But oh, there came a day when Miss Seeley had had enough. She'd made up in her mind that she was going to leave with Miss Suge Avery. Y'all remember that. And sitting there at the dinner table when she informed Mr. that she was getting ready to leave, he started popping off at the mouth. And Miss Seeley just snapped. That's what happens when you've had enough sometimes. You don't need, amen, you don't need the moment to be right. Do I have a witness? The moment is right now. Miss Seeley reached in that ham and grabbed that butcher knife and stuck it under Mr.'s throat and said, I ain't never asked you for nothing, not even your sorry beep beep hand in marriage. There comes a time when you've had enough. And as I stand here today, my brothers and sisters, on divine assignment,
I submit to you that those of you sitting here this morning are in one of two categories. The first category is those of you who've seen a change since you met Jesus. You can honestly say that he has come over you and your life has never been the same. You reached a point where you were fed up and you got tired of everything, and the Lord came walking in, and when he got through with you, he gave you a new way of talking and a new way of walking and a new way of living and a new way of loving. Is there anybody who's ever been there at least one time? You got to the point where you'd had enough. You couldn't take it anymore, and you can testify today that God rescued you right from where you were. Well, if that's you, I want you to be my amen corner, because I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to this other category. I'm talking about the people who are here and you're dressed up on the outside but messed up on the inside. I came here to tell you that God specializes in dealing with people who've had enough. Y'all, that's the pain predicament of the woman in the text here in the gospel according to St. Mark. By the time we get to chapter 5 in the gospel according to St. Mark, it seems as if everything is hopeless. Because in the beginning of Mark 5, we meet a hopeless man trapped in a cemetery. He'd been there for many years, and the Bible says that he was there cutting himself with stones. Everybody else said he was just crazy. But Jesus came through a storm just for him. Oh, can I give you something to shout about this morning while I'm in my introduction? Even if the Lord has to come through a storm just for you, he will do it. That ought to be good news for somebody today. And so he's now getting ready to go and heal Jairus' daughter, but while en route to heal Jairus' daughter, who's almost dead, this woman in the text just pops up out of nowhere. She doesn't have an invitation. She wasn't supposed to be here. Jesus didn't come for her, but she said, you know what? She said, I've had enough. I've been sick 12 years. I know they don't want me near him. I know he has his entourage and security and his posse. I know there are a bunch of folk around him, but I'm not leaving till I get what I came for. This sister has an attitude that said, I've had enough. She makes her way through the crowd, grabs Jesus, the Bible says, by the hem of his garment. And the text doesn't say she got well the next day. It doesn't say that she got well the next week. It doesn't say that she got well the next month. But the Bible says she got well immediately. The Bible says that the fountain of her blood dried up. She knew something had happened. In fact, everyone was touching Jesus, but only one person got well that day. I tell your neighbor, I've had enough. I've had enough. Y'all, that's the whole sermon. That's all I really came to say. How do you know when you've had enough? Can I tell you? You know you've had enough when you realize that if you don't do something soon, it's going to kill you. Do you know the devil wants you dead? I know you're cute, and I know your bank account is fat, and I know you got a good job and all of that, but you need to be aware of this fact: the devil wants you dead. Okay, you don't believe me? Then listen to Brother Peter. Peter says the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Well, if you don't believe me and if you don't believe Peter, then maybe you would believe what Jesus said. Amen. Jesus gave us a warning. He said, the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I put it on Facebook the other day because I've been listening to these news commentators trying to psychoanalyze what happened in San Bernardino, California, but I've come by to tell somebody you can't psychoanalyze the devil. He's just evil. If you don't believe he's evil, take the D off of his name and you will discover ain't nothing left but evil. That's all the devil is evil. And if you don't realize he is your enemy, if you've been parading around and going around the roses and not getting in your word and not letting the word get in you, it's because you don't realize you've got an enemy that wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to devour you. Is there anybody who's glad to be on the Lord's side? That devil wants you dead. And y'all, when you look at this, you see that the woman in the text is nameless. Say nameless. And whenever in Bible reading there is anonymity in the text, that means that there is inclusiveness by the writer. It simply means that if no name is given, you can put your name in there. Oh God. I don't know how you feel about it, but I thank God for a word that I can include myself in it. I thank God for the word today. And so this woman, she's at a point where she's got to do something or she will die. She's got to make a decision that she will live no matter what's going on around her, because the enemy wants her dead. And y'all, the enemy wants to kill your joy. He wants to kill your destiny. He wants to destroy your purpose. He wants to destroy your future, your life, and everything around you. But I've got good news. While he's trying to kill it, the Lord won't let him have it. Oh my. You can't really shout until the devil has had your life in his hands and the Lord slaps him upside the head and says, put him down. You can't really praise God unless you can accept the reality that the devil had you and he was about to destroy you, but you had enough sense. You listened to mama long enough to remember that mama said, baby, when the devil gets on your trail, call on Jesus. He may not come when you want him, but won't he be on time? Give him praise in this place. So all I need is about 20 of y'all real quick who know that you didn't have to be here to tell your neighbor that God made the devil give me my life back. Somebody needs to tell somebody else that God made the devil give me my family back. God made him give me my joy back. He had me and he tried to keep me, but there is a God who made him let me go. I don't know about you, but I thank God for deliverance. I thank God for deliverance. Have you ever been delivered out of a situation you didn't know how you were going to make it? You didn't know how you were going to come out of that thing, but the Lord stepped right in the midst of your problem and made a way out of no way. And now I dare you, I double dare you, right in the midst of this message, to give God a right now praise. Tell him thank you for what he's done. Give him praise in this place. So the first thing I want you to realize is that if you don't do something, it's going to kill you. That's the first thing you need to realize. But secondly, watch what the text reveals. We've got to recognize that when all is said and done, we've got to realize that our internal issues cause external problems. Did you hear what I said? I said your internal issues can cause external problems. What you don't realize is that the person you're seated next to this morning has been through hell and high water. And since I've got the mic, let me tell their story. They've been lied on. They've been talked about and mistreated. They've gone through struggle, strain, and strife. They've seen trouble, trials, tragedy, and trauma. Have I found your role yet? They've been dropped by people who told them that they loved them and didn't mean it. They've been tricked by folk they thought they could trust. They've been stabbed in the back by folk they thought were their friends. And yet they are up in here this Sunday morning with a smile on their face, with clapping in their hands, with joy in their hearts, because they realize that after all I've been through, I still have joy.
After all I've been through, I still got a praise. After all I've been through, I still have the Lord.
If I've got the Lord on my side, I come by to tell you, I can make it, I can make it, I can make it. Let me tell you, you see, you can't see it by looking at their face. They are dressed up on the outside, but on the inside, they have been hurt. Can I ask, is there anyone in this house who knows that you've been wounded at least one good time? I need a role. I need to find a role that I can talk to someone who can truthfully testify that I've been wounded more times than I care to count. This woman, she has an internal issue. She's unclean. She's hemorrhaging. But because it's underneath, you can't see it. It's not visible. So from the outside, she looks all right. But on the inside, she's been bleeding a long time. Y'all, when I studied this text, it finally hit me. I finally figured out why some people are so jealous and so mean, why they don't want to bless anybody. Amen. I'm talking about folk, and I'll be looking at you. I'm looking at you. Amen. And say, shake your neighbor's hand. And I ain't shaking my neighbor. Just tell us what you want. Amen. Why I got to shake anybody? And I finally figured out why some folk are so mean and won't smile and won't praise and won't do nothing. It's because they're bleeding and don't nobody know it. Oh, yeah. There are people on every row who are bleeding. Money can fix it up. Degrees can polish it up. Stuff may mask it up. But on the inside, they're bleeding. And can I tell you a secret? God is letting it happen. I said, God is letting it happen. Do you want to know why God is letting it happen? And I know somebody's sitting there and you're looking at me and you're saying, why would a good God allow one of his children, one of his loved ones to bleed? I'm so glad you asked. The reason is God knows that wounded sheep stay close to the shepherd. There are some of y'all, if you've never been wounded, if you've never been hurt, amen, you wouldn't even pray. Come on, where are my real saints at? There are some of you, if you never had a financial problem, if you never had folk lying on you and talking about you, you would never feel compelled to get on your knees and talk to God. And so every now and then, God allows us to bleed a little because he knows that when we're wounded, we'll get up in his lap. And I don't know how you feel about it today, but I wish I could tell you that everything was well with me. I wish I could tell you that I'm one is 100, as they used to say, amen. But I have my own problems. I have trouble sometimes. I have trials sometimes. I don't feel good all the time, but I'm so glad when I'm down, I can get in my Savior's lap. Is there anybody here today who can testify I'm in his lap right now, Pastor? The only way I can smile is because I'm in his lap. The only way I can rejoice is because I'm in his lap. So we thank God today that we've got a Savior who's a healer. I said we thank God today that there's a healer in the house that's able to touch stuff that no one else is able to touch. He's able to heal stuff that even an MRI can't pick up on. There's a ministry that the church has oftentimes negated, and it is the ministry of deliverance. I said we've often neglected the ministry of deliverance. And that's why some folk come in church on Sunday with masks on. Amen. They've just gotten used to when you go to church, amen, you just got to put that smile on your face and say God bless you, you know, and say amen and praise the Lord and you know where to lift your hands and when to lift your hands and all of that. But can we take the mask off for 1 minute? Can we take all of that off for 1 minute and let somebody be real enough to admit, Pastor, I'm hurting. Pastor, if I don't get some help right now, this thing is going to kill me. Pastor, if I don't get some deliverance today, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to take my life. I came by to encourage you today,
to let you know that the deliverer has come. You do not have to leave here like you came. You do not have to leave here bleeding. You do not have to leave here wounded. Where are my folk who can say, like the woman in the text, if I can just touch, the hem of his garment, I know I'll be all right. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made whole. I'm coming to a close, but I need to tell you, because a lot of times when we read this text, we think that this woman simply fell down and touched the bottom of Jesus' robe. But I need you to understand that in Jewish antiquity, they wore what were called prayer shawls, and they still wear them today in the Jewish community. And these prayer shawls have tassels hanging on each end of them, these tassels. Amen. And each tassel represents the word of God. And so when the Bible says that she wanted to touch the hem of his garment, it doesn't mean that she simply fell and touched the bottom of his robe. It means that she tried to get in touch with the tassels, because she understood that the tassels represented the word of God. And I'm closing, but I want somebody to know today that your deliverance is in the word of God. And I like everybody else, I love good singing. I love good gospel music, especially when it's rooted and grounded in the word of God, because I've walked with God long enough to realize that the only way I can get deliverance is I've got to get in touch with his word. Is anybody here today who knows that there is power in his word? There is deliverance in his word. And every now and then, I find myself wounded. But if I can just get a word, if I can just get a word that says he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Is there anybody who's glad about the word? I'm glad about a word that says cast all your care upon him, because he cares for you. I thank God for the word. I thank God for a word that says I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. I thank God for the word. And is there anybody here today who's got enough word in you that you realize that in your time of trouble, and when you've had enough, you ain't got to cuss anybody out. You don't have to stab anybody. You don't have to shoot anybody. But you can go to the word and won't the word give you strength? Where are my people at who made it here today? Because you know the power of his word. I dare you, I double dare you to celebrate his word. Why don't you stand on your feet and call up some word in your heart, some word that will pick you up and turn you around and place your feet on solid ground. Thank God for the word. That's all I came to tell you, is that your deliverance is in the word. Your healing is in the word. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God.